Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
And you're most welcome back to the program. Bobby here standing in for Pat today. So the Auld Sarans have fallen by the wayside and the Tory party leadership is now a two-horse race with Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss set to succeed Boris Johnson as the next PM in September. But would either candidate be a boost for Anglo-Irish relations? And are there likely to have an appetite to address issues surrounding the protocol and power sharing in the North? To get more insight on this, I'm delighted to be joined by former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. You're very welcome to the show, Bertie Ahern. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Bobby, and good morning to you.
Now, we'll get into the minutiae of the two finalists in a minute, Bertie, but first of all, could we have a quick look at the legacy of Boris Johnson? Because whatever happens, the next 3 years are not likely to be as colourful as the past three.
Oh, yeah, but Boris certainly was a colourful guy, and I suppose all the way through his political life from his journalistic days, where I seen him in action first was when I was finance minister 30 years ago. He was a European correspondent based in Brussels. He didn't turn up to many of the press conferences because they were early in the morning, but that's another story. But he wrote a lot of anti-EU articles at the time, which were based on whatever. And he certainly was a good electoral success for the Tories in the last election, and I suppose he did a good job as mayor of London as well. But a difficult guy, and I spend most of my life in negotiations, and it's very hard to negotiate with somebody who then breaks the deal. And that's been his problem from an Irish perspective, and I think from his perspective with his own party as well.
Yeah. So if we look at Rishi Sunak now and Liz Truss, so what, in from an Irish perspective particularly, like, we have Liz Truss coming up with that, you know, legislation that's causing us all those problems in the North. Sunak maybe probably on balance probably a better bet for us, Bertie, but give us your view on who would be better for Ireland.
Well, you know, I'm not convinced it'll make a whole lot of difference. The protocol legislation went through the Commons the night before last. It had a 72 majority, no rebellion across the Tory party. And now it goes to the Lords. The Lords can jump up and down, but they can't really do a lot because what would happen, Bobby, technically, it'll be somewhere between September and Christmas. If they did get amendments passed and if the government didn't like them, which they probably wouldn't, they'd come back to the Commons again and they'd probably end up with that majority again. So, but listen, I think from an Irish perspective, rather than us worrying about the internal position in the Tories for the next 6 weeks, which is what it's going to be all about, we should try and keep our focus on, like, you know, nothing difficult is ever achieved until it's done. So rather than thinking about the impossible, and it does seem a little bit that way, but I don't like to think that way. I think what we should try to do, and somebody needs to do it, either a moderator or a convener in the North, to try to talk to all the industrial sectors. They've all been out giving their views. The Irish Times had a good article last week on what Irwin Armstrong was saying, one of the big healthcare people, and Roger Pollan, who's over the small industries. But there are all these organisations in Northern Ireland. And what I would love to see is that their perspective on what they don't like about the protocol, what they do like about being in the single market, that was documented. And either they or whoever does it should present that then to the British government and to the EU before the legislation is passed, when there will be time to do that, when the new government comes in, new ministers come in September, and then see if there is an opportunity to broker some kind of amendment. If, as seems likely today, but I wouldn't give up, the legislation goes through, that means the protocol is effectively set aside. It means that, you know, the withdrawal agreements that Boris says Brexit done isn't really done. It's done in a sleight of hand. And, you know, a deal that was part of the withdrawal hasn't been made. And I think that will lead to further problems with the European Union. Does Liz Truss or Rishi Sunak want to continue on 2 years of war with the EU? Or do they want to try and stabilise things and settle things down? To me, there's enough of problems hanging around at the moment. There's Ukraine, there's inflation, there's rising interest rates. In Britain, they have the pension issue, which is a big issue. Their economy isn't doing that good. Maybe no economy will be doing that good about the time we're through all these issues. So there's an opportunity. And I think, Bobby, we should try and work towards the opportunity. If it comes to naught, well, you know,
at least we've tried.
Another issue. At least we've tried.
Is there a sense, Bertie, that Northern Ireland and restoring power sharing is probably going to be down the list of priorities? You mentioned some of those other distractions there for the next Prime Minister. In other words, that they'll just have so much other stuff on their plate that this won't be a priority. That's a concern, is it not?
It is, Bobby, and this is the ongoing concern, and particularly with Tories. I mean, you know, the reality is, I was watching some of the debates with the candidates for the last few weeks. There's been nothing really about the protocol. There's really been nothing on Northern Ireland. The big debate on Monday night on BBC television, 9 o'clock. It'll be interesting to see how much Ireland, the North, the protocol come into it. I guess not much. So that's where we are. So rather than just, you know, wring our hands and holding gloom, I think the opportunity is to see if we can, you know, create momentum by getting an agreed position of the organisations in the North, as much as it is possible. They don't all agree on everything. And then see if we can work on it that way. If we just sit back and try to deal with this with the politics of the EU, politics of the what will be a new British government, and Irish politics, and the DUP saying they won't go back, then this is going to be another long playing record. And that's bad for, in my view, it's bad for Ireland, it's bad for North, it's bad for South, it's bad for the Good Friday Agreement.
And surely a working assembly in Stormont suits the UK as much as it suits us, and even indeed the people of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I don't, as we go into it, listen, it's going to be a difficult winter one way or the other. I mean, you don't have to be an economic or a political analyst to see that. I mean, there are a number of issues coming together from COVID continuing on into a new strain to the war in Ukraine, the energy crisis, and God knows how many other issues hanging around just seem to be coming together. So we're into a difficult patch. And you need an assembly in the North. You need an executive in the North. And you need agreement in the North. And I've listened to Geoffrey Donaldson, and you know, Geoffrey has said, you know, we have to understand that the basis of all of this is power sharing. So let's agree with that. It is the basis of it. So that does not mean that the protocol can be taken the way the British government like it, totally against the vast majority of the wishes of people in the North, and push through. That isn't power sharing either. So I think for Geoffrey and the other parties, they all have their point of view, but I think they should feed into what I've said and try and get a consensus of what is necessary, and then try and either amend the legislation or get the British government to do it a different way.
Yeah.
There is an opportunity between now and probably the conference season. I don't see much happening between the now and the conference season, which is October. And then, you know, you if you were a betting person, you wouldn't put too much at the moment on beating Liz Truss, because she's a 24-point majority. The Tory, we always have to remember that while the people in England voted 52-48 for Brexit, the vote within the Conservative membership where this vote is 80-20 for Brexit. So, you know, we're effectively dealing with strong Brexiteers. We're dealing with the right of the Tory party. They're not sympathetic to us. And you know, que sera, but you have to deal. You know, when you go into negotiations, whether you have to try and take it as it is.
You can only deal with what's in front of you, isn't that it?
Yeah, it's no good saying, Bobby, you wish it was the other way, because you have to play the game regardless.
What about the US here, Bertie? I think they've been certainly our friend in this world scenario. Can they bring a pressure to the UK that could be ultimately helpful to us?
Yeah, they definitely can. And of course, before Boris was brought down, the UK ministers were on the ground in America, which was quite worrying, trying to claw back what we had gained. So I think our diplomatic service, after they've got their August holiday, need to get stuck in again. The big hand that we have, and I spoke to an American congressional group on Monday in the GPO, and I was saying, listen, the one help you can be is the threat of no trade deal with the United States and the UK if they don't give us a satisfactory deal. That's the one card, you understand. I think none of the romantic stuff will get us anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's the Republicans in particular in America understand business, and they have that in similar with the Tories in the UK. But, you know, I suppose what we need to avoid, I mean, I presume the election, when we hit September, the election has to be within about 27 months in the UK. It's unlikely to go all the way to Christmas again, even though it was a Christmas election in 2020 or in 2019. So it'll probably be 2 years from September, something like that. So what we don't want to do is to find that we end up in a position where we've no institutions in the north, where we don't have much going on east-west. And by the way, I think as soon as the government is elected and the new prime minister is in, whoever she or he is, you know, we the Irish government should meet them under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. That's at intergovernment level, not just the summit between the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister, which is easy enough to achieve. But I think if it's done under the Good Friday Agreement, then you have more of a chance of being able to debate the institutions and say, here we are, we've no north-south on, we've no executive, we've no assembly. Is this a tolerable position in the democracy? And hopefully we get a Secretary of State that you know, might be interested in helping people like Julian Smith, you know.
And finally, Bertie, it's a big weekend for the football. I just had to get your thoughts when you're on with us. I know you're a neutral observer. Who's it going to be, Kerry or Galway?
Yeah, I hope it's a good game. It's the hurling final, and I hope it's exciting. You'd look on it. I mean, since Kerry have beaten the best team in the country in the semi-final by far, you'd fancy them a bit, you know. But, you know, if we had Conor O'Callaghan, we would have beaten them by about 6 points. But I'm biased by it, Bobby.
Well, you know how it feels. I was a Kilkenny man last weekend, so there you go. Bertie Ahern, as always, a great pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you well. Thanks very much, Bertie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.